good. I remember my first time speaking in the gospel in the old hall out the road. I think I was 2 minutes and something. And I don't know how I didn't pass out. Believe it or not, as much as people that know me can be a bit of a clown by times, but I really, when it comes to public speaking, it doesn't come natural to me. But it is nice to see you here tonight. And just to close the meeting, I'd just like to think of something very serious, but really, in light of what we've been hearing, really, I want to ask you a very simple question and then explain it to close the meeting. Really, if I was to put a label over a message, what is the value of a soul? What is the value of a soul? So with that, we're going to read in Mark chapter 8. And we certainly would welcome you tonight, and we would welcome you the same time next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock for the preaching of the gospel. And tomorrow night, it's supposed to be youth group. Of course, we're watching the weather, so stay tuned. Youth group's usually at 6:30 on Monday, and then on Thursday is prayer meeting and Bible study at 7:30. You'd be welcome there as well. So let's read in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. The Lord Jesus is speaking. He asks this question, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I'm going to read a couple other verses, but really, what is the value in a soul? Really, maybe just let's go back a little bit. What is a soul? You know, we hear people saying that, and you know, we're really humans. We think about the here and now, and we look at each other, and we see our physical bodies, and you know, some of us, we're getting older, and hair's falling out, and teeth are falling out, and all these different things. We're getting older. And really, one thing that we really can come to understand is that this body really it is temporary. You know, we've been reminded, haven't we, in the past months of it, how close death can come. And really, when it comes to the soul, it is the real you. That body that we look at, that we can feel, that we can interact with other people, it's really just like a tent. I don't know how many of you have went camping. I remember we spent almost 2 weeks in a tent. It was enjoyable for the most part, apart from the thunderstorm. But we are accustomed to the idea of tent as something that is very, very temporary. But really, the real you, the Bible describes that as a soul. If we were to go back to Genesis chapter 2, we'll read as God would form man. We read that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And then it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then it says that man became a living soul. And you know, really what makes this message so solemn is that we're not talking just simply about 20 years or 40 years or 80 or 90 years. We're talking about eternity. You know, I was thinking today as I was driving and thinking about one of the greatest kings that ever lived in this world, Solomon. Solomon, he was wise, he was rich, and he had everything that he wanted, and yet Solomon writes a book called Ecclesiastes. And you read through that, he really said, "I've had this and had all these different experiences, but in the end, it's just all empty." And then as he makes an interesting statement, he talks about man dying, and then he says, man goes to its long home. Not log home, long home. And really, when it comes to you and your soul, we are not so much tonight focused upon this short period of time that we live. We are really focusing you upon the hereafter. The Bible talks about eternity. The chart that is behind me shows two charts. There's a broad way, there's a narrow way. But really, when it comes to this side of the chart, that's really the idea of your long home. Where are you going to be? The Bible tells about two destinations, heaven and hell. The Lord Jesus, he was speaking, and he said, "Don't fear only him that can kill the body." He says, "Fear him that after he has killed the body, he can cast the soul into hell." Very, very solemn words. But again, I want to go back to the question, what is the value of your soul? As the Lord Jesus was writing, he says, "For what will it profit a man if he will gain the whole world?" Now, we're familiar with the idea of profit, aren't we? You know, I know there's some here, they run their own business, and they're familiar with the idea that, well, if you are in business, it has to be profitable. When we go to work, when we head there, really, the only reason, as much as we should enjoy what we do, the biggest reason we go to work is that it profits their wallet, right? You know, maybe we complain about the amount of taxes and the amount of bills and those different things, but at the same time, there's really a purpose in everything that we do. And really, as the Lord Jesus, he's saying, what will it profit you? If you were to gain the whole world, and there's people in the world and that they are so wealthy, but if they do not have Christ, as Titus mentioned, they do not have a relationship with God. And really, if all you have and all they have is just in this life, when you crash into death, what will you have then? You know, money and riches and popularity and fame, those things end at the grave. Well, what about your soul? And we have read that. The Lord Jesus asks the question, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You know, we're familiar with insurance. You know, sometimes again, we complain about the insurance bill comes, but really if something were to happen, we should be able to go to an insurance company and really we'll reap the benefits of having an insurance policy. And again, what insurance policy do you have on your soul? Because really that's what it comes down to. When it comes to when this life is over, if you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not had a time in your life, as Justice told us, and again, it's not so much about being able to go to a time in the clock and point an exact time. But I do believe the Bible speaks about salvation being a real event in your life. Because really, it comes down to a time when you accept Christ as your own and personal Savior. It is a real personal relationship. But again, I ask you the question, what value do you place upon your soul? Can I tell you, I'm going to read it in a second. You know that God, that the Lord Jesus places immense value on your soul? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. This is the middle of your Bible and the middle of the Old Testament, really. Dale Swan read the earlier part of this chapter this morning. And again, as Titus mentioned already, he read in Psalm 22, written about 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus. Well, this was written about 750 years before the Lord Jesus was born, and yet he fulfilled many of the things that are written in this chapter. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10. And again, this is speaking about the Lord Jesus. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, and thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his righteous. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. And this is what I want you to think about. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. We're going to read one more verse in a minute to close out. But here, written 750 years before, Isaiah is writing these words. And he said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Bruise who? Who was Isaiah writing about? We have authority from the Bible because, you know, 700 and almost 800 years later, there's a man from Ethiopia, and he's traveling on a chariot. He went to Jerusalem, and he's traveling back to Ethiopia, and he's reading this very passage. And there is a preacher by the name of Philip. He comes, and as he draws near the chariot, and he sees that he's reading Isaiah 53, and he asks the question, do you know what you're reading? And there is the Ethiopian eunuch. He says, I don't know, and how can I know except some man should guide me? He invited Philip in, and Philip used this very passage. And what does it say? He preached unto him religion, baptism, good works, preached unto him Jesus. I thought last Sunday night was so clear when our brother Ryan, as he was presenting, that really it's the cross of Christ plus nothing, and I agree 100%. As much as, and I'm going to touch on this in a minute, as much as the Bible does tell us, the Apostle Paul himself said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Yes, faith and belief is necessary. But your faith and your belief does not add a single thing to what Christ has already done. And as Isaiah was writing 750 years before, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And I can tell you tonight about the work of Christ when he was hanging upon the cross. He valued your soul so much, you know, that he allowed men to spit in his face. Do you know that he allowed them to take the whiskers and rip them from his face? They doubled their fists and they punched him repeatedly. They made a crown of thorns and put it on his head and beat it in with a stick. And they mocked him. They scorned him. They embarrassed him. They insulted him. But he placed such tremendous value upon your soul. Not only did he suffer at the hands of men, but as we read here, he poured out his soul unto death. What value do you place upon your soul? I want you to stop. What value did God place upon your soul? When he sent his son into this world, knowing exactly what they would do to him, knowing exactly what it would cost his beloved son to come into this world to make a ransom for your sin. And I want to ask you tonight, what value do you place upon your soul? That's what makes this message so solemn and so important, is that we're not just talking about this life. As much as it's important, and I agree 100% with what was said before, that it makes a difference in this life. Yes, it does. And even though we fail and we make mistakes, yet we can tell you about the Savior that will never ever make a mistake. And not only will he make this life better, yes, it's not that we get saved and we just, a nice little sailing under onto heaven. No, salvation, being a Christian, is not always smooth sailing. There's people here that can attest to that. But as our brother Doug used to say almost every time that he preaches, there's nothing like laying your head on the pillow every night, knowing that if I don't wake up in the morning, that all is well for eternity. And just as I close, I just want to read Hebrews chapter 10. Again, this is a book written by someone. We're not told who wrote it, but there is, he's really comparing how much Christ is greater than everything else. And as he's really talking just this last section about the Old Testament with the, Scott McLeod was here a few months ago and he had the tabernacle set up here and he was giving us some lessons from that Old Testament with all the sacrifices. He's really just dealing with all that. And here is he is really wrapping this section up. And he says in verse 38 that now the just will live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But, he says, but we are not of them that draw back to perdition, but we are not really those that draw back to perish, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. When it comes to salvation, it's not you plus your faith plus the work of Christ, and you'll be saved. Absolutely not. But really, as I know someone might have mentioned it, but I was just a very simple illustration of what happened when somebody doesn't. There was a woman, and she was in a house fire. And she was on like the third floor, and the house was all on fire. And there was the firefighters came with their ladders, and there the woman was. And I believe a couple other people had escaped, but there she was. Just hanging out the window, about to jump into the net. And at the last minute, the fireman's horror, she turned and went back into the house. The house collapsed, and she perished. They found her charred body, and in her hand was some simple trinket that she wanted to grasp onto. You know what happened? She valued something temporary and passing over her own life. I want to ask you tonight, what are you valuing above your soul? Is it friends? Is it your own thoughts? Is it your maybe a few years you think you have in this world? What are you valuing above your soul? The Lord Jesus valued your soul so much that he came into this world and he suffered so intimately for you as he would suffer, and he poured out his own soul unto death. He valued your soul. I was in a room there before this meeting and many of your names were mentioned. There's Christians here and they value your soul. I ask you tonight as I close, please, 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 understand how valuable your soul is, how much God values you. The work that Christ has done upon the cross is absolutely sufficient for every single person. But you just simply need to avail yourself of it, and He will save you. It's not a work that you have to go part way and God will take you the rest. It's just simply going exactly where, right where you are. And just really giving up your hands and surrender. Say, I am unable to do anything for myself. You know what? The Lord Jesus will save you. Let's just take a moment to pray here. Father, we're thankful for the Savior. We're thankful for the value of the soul, how much God valued our souls. So we just pray to bless each one here tonight as we would close with a verse of a hymn. And just pray for each one, those that are not saved, that they would trust in the Savior, in the Savior's name. Amen.